I mean, that smells good. I mean, what do you think, Jack? Do you think that smells good? Do you think that's not burnt? Some people like to burn it. I don't. Oh, just like the one you have at home? Hey, it tastes good too, you know? I'm going to start to smell good. Here, we'll give you one kernel. You can have one. There you go. Just for you. So, Marty, you know, I'll give you one too. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just going to keep everything here for myself so that y'all can just enjoy me watching eating popcorn.
Hey, what?
What was that? Eat it, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, eat it. I love when I can eat popcorn in church. It's so good. Oh. So scrumptious. So, let me put out my notes here. This is actually all part of my sermon, if you catching my drift. Maybe some of you are, maybe some of you isn't. But the title of my sermon today is, Are You Satisfied? Are You Hungry for More? Oh, now you're like, oh, I see the popcorn now. Okay, starting to understand a little bit more now. Are you satisfied? Are you ready to stop? Or are you thirsty for more? Are you hungry for more? Now, there was this...
It's so good. I get a whole bunch of octopus right here. Better not eat too much of that. But there was this movie called Home Alone 1. Did you all see that movie, Home Alone 1? You remember that? Some of you might be like, yeah, I'm dating myself a little bit. Because most of the young kids are like, what's that? Who's Macaulay Culkin? Who's that? So, the premise of it, this kid gets left home alone, and then these robbers want to come and steal things out of his house. And there's one line in the movie where he's done all these traps and gadgets and things like that. And there's one line where he's sitting on top of the stairs, this little kid, he's about 10 years old, and these two grown-up robbers are down there at the bottom of the stairs. He's like, are you ready to stop? Are you thirsty for more? What he says. You remember that? And then he hits him with a paint can and all types of other things. It's a funny movie. But we're going, how many of us are thirsty for more of God, though? Amen? Amen. Are we ready to stop with what we're doing? Or are we thirsty for more, is what my text is today. So let's turn to 2 Kings 13. And it's your choice. Your choice is to choose if you want to be hungry for more or if you're going to stop where you are. So today the Lord is giving us kind of a heart checkup. You know how you go to the doctors once a year? Well, you're supposed to. He's supposed to get a little checkup to see how you're doing. Well, today I feel like the Lord wants to give us a little heart checkup on what he's doing today. Now, as you see, we're a little bit thinner than normal, and that's because most of the men are at a men's conference down in, I think it's Delaware, isn't it? Yeah, down in Delaware. So before we get into the text, let's pray for our men. Some of our men that are down there. I know Pastor Steve down there, our senior pastor's down there. Pastor Kurt's down there, so they're having a great time. So let's just pray for them right now and ask God to really do some great things into them, deposit into them and bring it back here. So let's just pray for them right now. Father, we thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask, God, that you'd be with our pastors, Father, be with our men, Father, as they're having a great time in your presence and getting to know more about you, Father, and having impartation in their lives, oh God. Lord, we thank you for so much that you're doing in them. And Lord, we bless what you're doing. And we say, Lord, give them greater hunger for you. Give them more of you, O Father, so that they'll come back here, Father, totally fulfilled, excitement about you and who you are, Father. Just a renewed sense of hunger for you, a renewed sense of going after you, Father. I thank you for our leadership. I thank you for the men in that place, Father. And I just bless them right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yep, we want to lift up our leaders. Very important. Very important. So, 2 Kings 13, are you there? All right. So, starting in verse 14, just going to read ahead. Now, Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. So, Elisha did die from this illness that he had. Jehosh, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said. and he shot. "The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram," Elisha declared. "You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek." Then he said, "Take the arrows," and the king took them. Elisha told them, "Strike the ground." He struck it 3 times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, "You should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only 3 times.
This to me is a very sad story. Because not only that Elisha is going to die, I mean, he was the man of God at the time. He was the disciple of Elijah, who was caught up in a chariot and went up to heaven, who never experienced death, which was amazing. But this was Elisha, the man of God, who did twice as many miracles as Elijah did because he asked for a double portion. And we see that he is actually dying, and then the king of Israel is coming over to find out what he wants to do, because Elisha was a well-renowned man of God, well-respected, and everyone loved him, except when he had a bad word from the Lord coming, a word that was going to be a little bit tough for people to swallow. But the king of Israel came to Elisha and needed guidance. And it's a sad story, because the king of Israel, Joash, could have done something greater, but yet stopped short. How many of us in our lives have greatness in store for us? All of us. Let me just answer. All of us have greatness in store for us. All of us have a destiny, whether it's a certain group that you're supposed to reach to, a destiny for people, or a destiny of place, or just a destiny of goals and fulfillments. We all have a destiny. But there are things that we can do that can sell ourselves short of that destiny. The king of Israel took the arrows and struck the ground 3 times and stopped. And Elisha got mad at him. Because if you had taken it more times, if you'd done 5 or 6, you would have completely destroyed the Arameans, which was a very troublesome group for the Israelites. And yet, instead of getting total victory over these Arameans, they only defeated them 3 times. Because one man, who was a leader, did not go for it. Was not hungry enough for. So what I'm trying to communicate today is, I want you guys to be hungry. And it's not a choice I can make. It's a choice you guys have to make, CLCC. It's a choice you have to make to if you're going to be hungry for God or not. Are you going to sell yourself short from the victories that you can have in your lives? Or are you going to go for it and watch God do great miraculous things? Because I want to see Him do great things in you guys. That's what the pastoral staff, that's what the leadership, that's what church is all about. We want to equip you, we want to guide you, we want to send you guys out to do great things. It's not just always the senior pastor or the assistant pastor or a lay pastor or elder or deacon. That's gone. That's set sail. We're not into that. That's not biblical. Everybody has their part. Everybody has their destiny. Everybody has their calling. And we want to see the whole church fulfill that calling, fulfill that walk in their lives. Come on, somebody. You can shout, you can preach. You can say, "Come on, Van," you go, "Whoop, whoop, I'm good with that. I am fine with any of that stuff. I am good with that. I'm from the South. We love to shout. Don't give us a reason not to. We just love to." Amen. Come on, Jack. We love to shout. So what I'm trying to do here, look at this. I got some more goodies. Not just popcorn, but I got some other goodies. Here, I'll give this to, what kind of chocolate do you like? Do you like chocolate? Peanut butter? All right, we got some Twix in here. Is that going to be all right? That sounds good. So I'm going to give you one of those. You know, and then like, let me help my brother-in-law out. You look like you could use a little bit of chocolate. There you go. Pick one of those out. So look at that. Oh, you got an empty one. Wow. Really? There's only one empty one in the whole bag, and he gets it. My goodness. Here you go, Stanley. Why don't you take one of these, too? All right. Well, then, Emma, you can take one for your father. There you go. So, you know, there you go. What I'm trying to do is to illustrate hunger. Let's just face it. Sunday, everything's good, but then there's a certain point in the service where you start getting a little hungry. I mean, let's just be real. Let's just be real. It's okay. It's okay to be hungry in church. I get it. I get it. I mean, I grew up in a church where we would end to like 1 or 2 o'clock, so I was very hungry at that time. So I understand this. But what I'm trying to do is saying, where's our hunger level? Do we just want a piece of this stuff that God's given us? Do we just want a piece of it? Or do we want to have the whole bag when God's ready to give it? Say, here, have the whole bag. No, God, I just want a piece. I just want a piece. God wants to give us the whole bag of everything. He wants to fill our hunger. And yet we just want a piece. And that's what the king of Israel did. He just wanted easily. He was okay. How many of you know when we go forward, things happen? When we let God do things, things happen. I mean, I don't have all my uncles saved. All my uncles are not living for the Lord. They're not. My dad is, and he's in heaven now. But am I just satisfied with saying, okay, well, one out of the four brothers made it to heaven? Am I? Am I okay with that? Should I be okay with that? No. Because I'm selling myself short of what God could do. I have four kids. If one of them becomes saved, okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. Wow. Yeah, let's hit home. Let's get a little real here. One of them gets saved out of all four of them. Is that good enough? No, it's not. I want to see all four of them be saved, go into the destiny God's calling them. I want to see these things. Maybe at work. I got one person at work that's, you know, he's a believer or she's a believer, and that's it. I don't need to pray for anybody else. No, that's not the mindset we have to have. We have to go for it. Or maybe with us, it's like, well, you know, I got free of that one thing, and I'm okay. I got free of that one thing that was really weighing me down, but I mean, I've got these other sins, these other things that are going on in my life, but you know, I'm okay. I'm okay. No, you're not. You're robbing yourself from the destiny that God wants to do in you. You're selling yourself short because you're not hungry for the whole bag. Don't sell yourself short. That's what sin does. Sin sells you short of what God wants to fulfill in your life. That's it, plain and simple. And that's why he gives us guidelines to not only hurt us, because when we sin, we sabotage God's plan for us. That's what we do. Because we're saying, my plan is better than your plan, and I'll be satisfied because I know who I am and I know what I am. That's foolishness. God knows what we are. God made us, and he made us a certain way that it can glorify him more than anything else. And for us to think that we know what's best for us, garbage. It's straight up garbage. Because he made us a certain way. He knows how many hairs are on my head. Now, some of you might think, well, I wish I had the hair that Van has, you know? But it's okay. I mean, I don't have hair like Suzanne. I mean, she's got lots of hair. I mean, goodness gracious. That's good stuff. Now, I got a little bald spot back here, so I might need some hair later on, you know? But God knows all these things about us. And do you not think that he has a great plan in store for us? He does. He made us. So let me give you some examples of people that went for it. We saw what King Joash did. He didn't go for it. And he got the victory three times. But after that, the Armenians ran Israel to the ground. And there was a lot of pain and suffering because one man didn't decide to go for it. But there are people that did. David. Could you imagine if David didn't go for it with Goliath? What would have happened? Little skinny David. Little young David. If he would have listened to his brothers and just stayed on the bench and not going out and fight Goliath, nothing would have happened. Goliath would still be taunting. But he was ready to go for it.
What about blind Bartimaeus? Son of David, have mercy on me. What if he just shut up like everybody said so? He never would have received the blessing. He never would have received his healing, his sight that he desperately wanted for God's glory. What about Zacchaeus? Oh, here's a good one. Zacchaeus, he just wanted to see God. He just wanted to see Jesus. He was like, well, if I could just see him. Small man ran in front of the crowds, climbed up in a tree. Said, I got to see him. What hunger there is. He's like, if I can just see him. And because of that hunger, the Lord met him. Come on, somebody. When there is hunger, there is revelation. When there is hunger, there is impartation. Because God wants to do that. He wants to do that in every one of our lives. Are you hungry? You're like, how many snacks do you have back there, man?
I don't know. Where are you? Maybe. What did Mark want? You want to go from that? The Pringles. Sour cream and onion. See, yeah, he wants one of those. So there you go. Am I getting you hungry yet? Am I getting across my message today? Hopefully I am. Because if not, I just ate a whole bunch of calories. And I shouldn't be having them. It's okay, it's for Jesus, so I don't have to worry about carbs to these guys. That's right. What about Queen Esther? I love her story. Raised up for such a time as this. If she didn't go before the king, the Lord would raise up someone else. Go for it, folks. Go for it. When we don't go for it, who knows the consequences that we can have? I'll tell you a sad story about one time I didn't go for it. And this one still, it's not that it haunts me today, it's that I remember a time where I didn't go for it. I was back in Virginia, and I was at a Pizza Hut, because I like pizza. As if you couldn't tell, I love pizza. But I was there one day, and I was with a friend, and then this girl waited on our table. And I was like, wow, she looks familiar. I was like, and then I realized, I was in college at the time, I realized that she was in youth group with us. I was like, oh, wow. But I didn't say anything. I was like, well, she wasn't really that, you know, that into youth group. She's kind of coming every once in a while. And so I went ahead and I was like, well, maybe. And I felt like I should say something. I felt like I should say hi, you know, how you doing, you know. I was good to see you again, you know, something like that. But I chose not to. And I was like, well, you know, maybe she recognized me. Maybe she would recognize me. And I thought about that. I was like, well, I'm not going to worry about it. I find out. 2 weeks later, that lady died. Yeah. I was one of the last people to be able to maybe spread the word to her or encourage her. Now, I don't feel condemnation because of that. Because God's not the author of condemnation. But I remember from when I sold myself short. When I only hit the air, when I took the arrows and hit it on the ground 3 times, I remember when I did that, and that could have, instead of doing that, could have impacted that woman's life for the rest of eternity. I'll never know. I pray to God that something else happened, that God sent someone else in her path. I don't know where she was in the Lord. I don't know if she was a believer or not, but all I do know is that I should have done that. And it's a regret I have, but it's also a reminder saying, God, I need to make sure that I stay in tune with you. I need to make sure I'm hungry for you. I need to make sure I don't sell myself short, that I'm thirsting and hungering for you. Because it's real, folks. As much as we get caught up in the 9-to-5, the jobs, the retirement, and everything else, there's a world out there that really needs Jesus. And we are it. We are the light. That's it. The world's not going to come to Jesus on their own. We have to show them Jesus. I mean, there are times where God is sovereign and appears to them and has encounters with them, and that is awesome. I love it. But that's not the norm. The norm is we are the ambassadors. We are the folks that should share the love of Jesus with everyone. That's what we are. So you might be saying, well, Van, you know, I've heard all this.
You know, my heart is a little bit convicted, you know, about what's going on. I feel like I'm hungering for God. I want God. And let me just give you a few questions, and I just want you to answer that to yourself. Just give it to yourself. I'm going to ask you some questions, and then you respond in your own heart. So, is your heart wanting more of His presence? Do you want more of Him? If you're saying, yes, I do, then you're hungry, then you're thirsty, and that's great. If you're saying, no, I'm not really as hungry as I used to be. Now, granted, there are different seasons in our lives. There are different seasons where, you know, when I was up at Elam Bible Institute, when I went to school up there, I mean, I was up there as a single male. We had chapel every day and things like that. And there was definitely a hunger level within the class. There are different seasons of hunger level. But there's always should be a remnant. There should always be something in there that's always encouraging us to go after Him. If you're like, no, I'm pretty good with where I am right now, then you've been trapped by apathy. And I want to encourage you to break free from that apathy. Because all that apathy does is just hold you in one place and you'll never be able to go forward. You're going to sell yourself short of what God has in store for you. Another question. Do you enjoy coming to church and meeting with the Lord? Oh, there's a good one. Or is it a chore? Now, I have 4 kids. So sometimes a little rough. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes a little rough. I'm not always looking for Jesus, but like, oh God, I got to get the kids up. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this, you know? And my wife's the same way. And sometimes I sleep in a little bit and she has to do more, which I'm sorry for. So, but you know, that's how it goes sometimes. But this morning I didn't. I got up early and helped the kids and everything else. But sometimes is it more of a chore, or are we just passionate about meeting with God? If you're ready to come to church, then great, you're on the right track. If it's no, if you feel like church is a chore, then why? Why does it feel like a chore? And you might be like, well, it's the service. I'm like, well, I mean, I can understand that. Now, there are parts of the service that I do like more than others. I will say that. As a young man, I didn't care too much for the speaking part, which is hilarious because now I'm speaking. So I think that's quite funny. I'm like, God has a sense of humor. He's like, the part that you don't like, the part that you don't like the most is the part I'm going to have you do. So now you get to do that. So it's why I'm a little bit more animated, a little bit more charismatic when it comes to those things. But my favorite time was altar call and worship. Because in worship, you got to really get into the heart of God. You got to really taste and see how good He is. You got to really involve your heart with His and get aligned with it. And He's like, oh, this is so good. My perspective is changing because I have the eyes of Him now. And then altar call at the end. Love seeing what God would do with people and being able to be a part of that and praying with them and like seeing God break chains or heal or do things like that or signs and wonders or miracles. Love to see that stuff. Love to see that. I will say this, though. If you're bored in church, you're not doing it right. I'm just going to say that right now. You're just not doing it right. Because we serve an awesome God who is full of things. Now, I mean, there are times where we're a little tired and things like that. But if we're bored, we're not doing it right. There's something that we're not connecting. And we can get connected with Him. So another question, how is your alone time with Him? And what I mean by alone time is your prayer, worship, and reading His Word. How's that? Is that dry? Or is that just like, oh, I just can't wait to do that? If it's dry, then ask the Lord to help you out. Ask the Lord, Lord, make this more real to me. Give me revelation. Give me illumination in this. If it's good for you, yes, He's going to keep on doing it for you. He's going to keep on giving you more good stuff. I mean, I come here to the church when I do my devotion sometimes, and we have a good time here. Sometimes I'll spend 2-3 hours just worshiping, and it's wonderful. And it's not because I've achieved some level of success or I went to Bible college or because I'm a pastor. No, you can have that too. Where sometimes I'm like, oh, I got to go home? Oh, I don't want to go home. I just want to stay here in His presence. It's so good. But yeah, we have responsibilities, and He gets that.
but just loving to be in His presence. And then the last question I ask you, how is your thankfulness to Him, your gratitude? How is that? Because we, more so than ever, have been more entitled to different things, it feels like. I mean, we are one of the wonderful nations in the world, one of the blessed nations in the world. If you go to another country, you see what the poor is over there. It is totally night and day from over here. You see what actually the rich is over there, and it's still night and day. God has blessed us so much, and are we thankful for what He's done? I mean, I was praying the other day, and I was just like saying, thank you, Jesus, because I have money in my pocket that I can go buy a candy bar for my kids. Just so thankful for that. Just so happy I could just do that to bless them. Because if I'd been more in another nation or somewhere else or another time, I might not be able to do that. God has blessed us so much. Are we thankful for Him? Are we thankful for His presence? We're saying, thank you, God, for meeting me today. I'm content with what you did. I'm so thankful for what you did, but I'm not satisfied. There's so much more of Him. And sometimes we get caught up in how good God is, that we just want to stay there and not do anything else, not go further onto Him. Well, God, you did these great things, and I'm okay, and I'm good. You know, I've got a roof over my head, I got food to eat, and, you know, I've got a car to drive, and I'm good. That's it. That's all I need from you, God. No, He wants us to go further with Him. He doesn't want to give us one Pringle or one piece of popcorn or one chocolate. He wants to give us the whole bag. He doesn't even want to give us one Oreo. Oh, Van's like, oh, now I'm really getting serious here. I know that Becky loves Oreos. I'm very sure about that. So I will give her one. So I was like, yeah. She's like, yes, I love Oreos. So it's a Gib thing. So they all love their Oreos. So that's how. Mike, would you like an Oreo too? Would you like one too, Mike? Here, you can have an Oreo if you like one. There you go. Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's good stuff. Are we willing to settle for one Oreo when God wants to give us the whole box? Right after it, she's like, I'm ready. I need more Oreos. You got to eat the whole thing, yeah. You got to eat the whole thing. You just got to go. Oh, my goodness. Are we thankful for Him? Are we thankful for what He's doing in our hearts? If we get hungry, what that produces is more hunger for Him. And if we get more hungrier, that produces better choices by us. Did you know when we get hungry for Him and start spending time with Him, we make better choices? Did you know that? I did. It's amazing. It's amazing how many better choices I can make by spending a little time in prayer, or how things turn out to be a better perspective. And if we make better choices, God produces in us better habits. How many of you know there's, you know, some habits I'd like to get rid of, you know, it's like them, not really bad ones, but not so good healthy ones. Get rid of those habits. And when we start producing godly habits, that helps us with our character. Because when you do things for so long, that produces your character inside of you. And what that character does is that shows godliness. That shows people that, hey, this person is different. This person's holy. This person's set apart. This person's a Christian. There's something different about them. And what that character does is show people about God's glory. And with God's glory, you can fulfill your destiny. Come on, somebody. You can do that. But it all starts with more hunger. You've got to be hungry for God. You've got to be hungry. If you're not hungry for Him, you'll never get to the place where you can fulfill your destiny. I mean, I remember times, and I want to see them happen again, where God would just come into the room in a miraculous way, and we'd just be laying on the floor for hours. Hours. And no one would want to get up. Everyone would just want to stay down there because His presence was so tangible. You could feel like a weight. You could feel like a cloud of weight on you.
And there would be laughing and there would be crying that God was doing, healing our hearts, healing people. It was such an awesome thing. And that's what I want to see Him do again. And He wants to do this again in this house. And even greater things He wants to do in this house. God wants to do awesome things. But are we willing to hunger after it? Now, with hunger, there does come some sacrifice. I mean, maybe we can't do a few things that we're used to doing all the time. Maybe we've got to, instead of doing something that we'd want to do, you know, something we'd normally do, maybe we just need to take that time instead and spend some time in His presence. Maybe we need to change around our schedules a little bit so we can have more time with Him. And that's hard sometimes. I'm not going to say it's easy. It's hard. But you will forever be grateful for it. You will forever be like, you will never say, I wish I'd not done that. You will forever be fulfilled. We have to be hungry for it, folks. That's the question. Are you ready to stop? Are you hungry or thirsty for more? Because when we get hungry for more, we break free from apathy and from our chains. We do. And some of us, because we're not hungry, we think, oh, I wiggled my chain a little bit. I must be free. No, you're still bound by that. It's the hunger for God that when He breaks the yoke on you, you are truly free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed, is what the Bible says. So I want to challenge you today and encourage you. This is not a sermon that I got you. Nothing like that. What I want to do and what I feel like the Lord wanted to say today and do today is to create hunger. But that's a choice that you have to decide. I can't make that choice for you. I can eat in front of you. I can tell you how good God is. But it's only up to you if you're going to go for it or not. And you wonder, and this is the reason why we have certain meetings. This is the reason why we meet on Sunday mornings. We meet to be as a family. We meet for hunger for more of Him together corporately. Now, yes, you should go pray and do things on your own. Yes, definitely. But that's why we have other meetings, like the Bible studies with the men and women. We're doing that now. So to create more hunger, to create fellowship, to enjoy each other. As iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. That's why we have encounter nights. For hunger, for God to move. And when we're hungry, God's going to move. He's going to move mightily. I don't think we can even think about how awesomely He wants to move in this place. But let's not sell ourselves short of what He wants to do. Let's not do it. So I just want to give you guys an opportunity. We're going to play a worship song here in just a second. And I want to give you guys an opportunity to respond today to the message of hunger. Maybe you are maybe you are apathetic right now, right in this time. You're like, well, I've got these things and God's so good, I'm fine. No, you're not. Because if you're not hungry for Him, you become stagnant and stale. And that is not a good place to be in. Because when you become apathetic, stagnant, and stale, you also become known as lukewarm. And you know what God says about lukewarm? I will spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be hot or cold. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to be cold either. I want to be hot for Him. I want to be hungry for Him. And some of you might be like, well, Van, you know, I'm going after him. Great. Keep going. Desire more hunger. Desire more things for Him. So I just want everybody to stand. I just want everybody to stand. Because this is your time alone with God. And we stand to honor Him, to praise Him for who He is. And if you can't, that's okay. But we honor Him, praise Him for who He is. So I'm just going to play this song. And then it's between you and the Lord. You hunger after Him. Maybe you need to ask God for forgiveness. Like, God, I haven't been as hungry for You as I normally have. Forgive me. Help me to be hungry for You. Hungry for You. Or if you're doing well and you're like, God, I just want more. Then go for it. All right, go ahead, Emma. Thank You, Father.